It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. All right, welcome to episode 21, listeners. It is July 15th, 2012. This is Adam.
Belle.
Diane.
And Haley.
Saying hello.
Hi.
What's up?
So we have a fun episode planned for you guys, but of course, we got to kick it off with some announcements first. And there's actually an above average number of announcements today, isn't there?
There's quite a lot to go through, yes.
Yeah, so let's just kick it off real quick. So you guys know how I'm always nagging about how you can only subscribe to Taylor Talk from your iTunes on your computer, not from a mobile device?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that recently changed. Apple just released a podcasts app for iPhone, iPod, iPad, whatever mobile device you happen to have. And it's really, really cool. It's just called Podcasts. It's a free app. And it allows you to subscribe to your favorite podcasts, Taylor Talk, right from your mobile device, as well as being able to share your favorite episodes with your friends on Twitter, messages, and mail. And something kind of cool it offers is it offers a sleep timer when you're listening to a podcast where it'll turn it off after a certain timer, which I thought was kind of cool because we've actually had people give us feedback and say that they listen to Taylor Talk to go to bed at night. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Like a lullaby.
Yeah, they say our voices are soothing.
Hopefully it's soothing and not that we're that boring that it makes them fall asleep. But, you know.
I know, I hope not.
I hope not.
But anyway, Podcasts is what it's called. It can be downloaded from the App Store on your mobile device. Next up, don't forget we have a YouTube channel. That was a quick one. Third, something kind of exciting, we have a Facebook page now. It's facebook.com/TaylorTalk13. You can go in there. It's a great new way to interact with us, interact with other listeners of the show especially, because it's a little bit harder to do that on other social networks. But Facebook really has it dead on with that comment system. So it's a great thing. Go like us on Facebook. Next is something even slightly more exciting. A lot of you have asked for this.
What is it, Adam?
Drum roll, please.
Insert drum roll. No, just kidding. Don't insert the drum roll till the last and final announcement, because that's the coolest. So the the announcement I'm teasing you about is that we're switching back to a weekly format, finally.
Yay!
After several months of going bi-weekly, we're going once a week again. Reason behind that is actually interesting. It's going to be a unique format that we came up with on our own. So it turns out a lot of people don't have an hour to sit down and listen to a full episode of Taylor Talk. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep these full episodes, full-length episodes with discussion going every other week. And then on the weeks in between, we're going to do a shorter episode for you guys with news and mini segments and stuff like that. And it'll be kept brief for those that don't have time to sit through a full episode. The final announcement is the one thing I am most excited about. I hope you can tell by my voice, but I am so excited about this because I worked for like a week on doing this. And I really want you guys to love it. It's going to be like the coolest thing ever. So it's the newest, latest, greatest, most awesome way to submit mini segments, feedback. But the best part of it is you get to hear yourself on Taylor Talk. Yeah, we're not reading your mini segment submissions. You are. How are you going to do this? I set up a new voicemail system so you guys can call in, leave a message, and we'll be able to put it in the episode, and Taylor Talk listeners all around the world are going to be able to hear you reading your own submissions. So, there's two ways of doing this. For U.S. listeners, you can dial area code 240-31-SWIFT, 31-SWIFT, and you can leave us a voicemail there. It's a Google Voice account. Or, for everybody, including U.S. listeners, and everyone around the world, you can go to taylortalk.org. There's a new tab on the right side of it that says send voicemail. You click on that, record your message. If you want to, you can listen back to it, re-record it if you have to, and then click send, and it'll come into us. We'll be able to insert that in the episode. So again, you get to hear yourself on Taylor Talk, which is pretty awesome.
Yay!
Like, I'm really, really excited about this new feature, and I hope you guys are too. We actually have our first voicemail submissions coming up later in the episode for you. All right, that's it for the announcements. finally.
But wait, there's more. I hope you all remember our interview with Rick Barker from episode 20. He's Taylor's former manager and shared all kinds of fun stories with us. Well, I've got some good news for you. Rick will now be joining us every single episode with a music industry tip of the week that'll help you get your career started in music. Without further ado, Rick Barker.
Hey guys, it's Rick Barker, and it's time for our music industry blueprint tip of the week. Now, this is for you that want to be artist. These tips are going to hopefully give you a little insight in what it is that you're doing right now that can hopefully make it better. Today, we're going to talk about YouTube videos. How to put up YouTube videos, what are the best YouTube videos to put up, and what should I list in my description and keywords in order to make myself relevant. First and foremost, you should go to iTunes or the Billboard chart and find whatever the top 5, 10 songs in the country are at this time and do your own rendition of them. Don't duplicate them, no matter what you do. Don't duplicate them, but do your own rendition to show your style of music. Now, when you upload the video in your annotations, and those are the little things that can scroll across inside the video, make sure that you direct people to where they can hear your music. Whatever you do, do not ask them to buy your music on iTunes in the description of your YouTube video. Most of them don't know you yet, so they're not going to buy from you. What I would do is the first thing I would say is, thanks for watching my video. If you like this, check out my music and have a link to wherever it is that you can direct people to your music. One of the biggest mistakes that we make early on is that we try to get people to buy before they even know who we are. If you'd like more tips, go to the taylortalk.org website, click on the Music Industry Blueprint. I offer a 7-day free training series called 7 Keys for Increasing Your Odds in the Music Business. Now back to the show. Enjoy Taylor Talk. I'm Rick Barker with the Music Industry Blueprint.
So, how have you guys been?
We've been doing great.
Good.
How are you, Adam?
That's okay. So, I got a funny story for you guys, actually, and for all our listeners. So, I was talking to a friend of mine, Terrence. He used to. The show doesn't exist anymore, but he used to host a Harry Potter podcast called Hogwarts Radio. And so he's doing a panel at LeakyCon, this Harry Potter convention that's coming up in August. And he didn't know what to do it on, so we were trying to come up with ideas. And so I told him he should do it on something called cross-fandom pollination, where it's talking about people that are mutual fans of two different fan bases. Because, you know, there's a lot of Harry Potter Twilight crossover, Harry Potter Hunger Games crossover. And I was like, of course, don't leave out Harry Potter, Taylor Swift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just like, didn't know how to respond. So he's like, yeah, if Taylor Swift and Harry Potter merged, Ginny would be all like, who's this chick? And Taylor would respond, why you gotta be so mean?
That's pretty funny.
And I almost died laughing. Nice. So I don't know if he's moving forward with that idea or not with his panel discussion he's got to host, but I thought it was really funny. So what did you guys think of it was a little bit, I don't know when this happened, I can't remember, but the whole like Jay-Z making fun of Kanye interrupting Taylor incident, you know, at the BET Awards.
It's one of those situations where I don't really think an I'm gonna let you finish joke is ever gonna truly get that old,
I guess, but I don't know, there was something about it that kind of bugged me.
What?
I don't know. It just, like, did you actually watch it?
The video?
It just kind of bugged me because it was like, the idea was Kanye was in Taylor's position. They were making fun of the situation and just kind of laughing about it. And I think that was a kind of a low moment for Taylor. Like, she was not laughing about it. And they're, like, making a joke out of, I guess, her, really.
I didn't really see it that way.
I don't think Jay-Z would mean it like that because he's married to Beyonce, and Beyonce was very, very nice to Taylor when she was in that situation, you know? So,
exactly.
I don't think that's what he meant, but maybe it just, I guess, came off a little bit wrong.
I don't know, it came across wrong for me. Yeah, I didn't like the way it came across, but I don't know. You know, it is what it is. I guess, last thing before we get started with the real episode, did you guys understand what Taylor was talking about with her New York label thing?
Yeah.
So, listeners, do you know what we're talking about? Where Taylor tweeted something like she was.
She did a video.
Oh, the video. That's right. And she's like, just at my New York label or something, and showed a video of an office that had like pictures of her everywhere on the walls.
That would be kind of awkward.
She didn't seem weirded out by it, you know, at all. I'd imagine she's kind of used to that type of thing, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure by now, yeah.
So, but what was going on with that? Like, why? What's this New York label thing about?
Basically, like, Universal Republic is partners with Big Machine, and they created Republic Nashville. So,
and that's in New York, their offices?
Yeah, they have an office in New York, and so when she was there, when she referred to it as my label, it's because it's partner label with Big Machine.
Oh, that makes sense. Now, I was so confused, because Big Machine, I know, is in Nashville.
Yeah.
So that was confusing. So
I think a lot of people were confused. They're like, wait a minute, she's not switching labels, is she? No, she's not switching labels. She is still on Big Machine Records.
Belle, this is why we have you on Taylor Talk.
Right, because you know all this stuff about the music industry. It's great to have you around.
That's the only reason. Belle, you're staying on the show.
Let's forget about the fact that I also edit the show.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, thanks.
That, too. Anyway, so let's get into the real episode. So kicking off with the calendar, there's just the one item currently. The Teen Choice Awards are coming up on July 22nd from 8 to 10 p.m. Taylor's nominated for 5 different categories. First one is Choice Female Artist. Go vote for Taylor. Choice Country Artist, go vote for Taylor. Choice Voice for Audrey and the Lorax, go vote for Taylor. Choice Single by a Female Artist for Eyes Open, go vote for Taylor.
Vote for Taylor.
Choice Country Song for Sparks Fly, go vote for Taylor.
Taylor.
You like my subliminal messages there? Now everybody's going to be like zombies. Go vote for Taylor. Go vote for Taylor. So you can go to, I believe it's teenchoiceawards.com, right?
Yeah.
The voting. So go to teenchoiceawards.com and go vote for Taylor, please. So Belle's going to give us some news items now. So Belle.
So Taylor Swift joined James Taylor on stage at Tanglewood on July 2nd, and they performed Fire and Rain, Hours, and Love Story. And I'm upset that I was not there.
But Belle, don't forget you were there when James Taylor joined Taylor Swift on stage.
That is very true, and I will never forget that, especially because she said the coolest thing ever during that show. She was like talking about how her parents were talking to her about James Taylor, and they were like, by the way, you're named after him.
Yeah, which is awesome.
That is so unbelievably cool. Love it to death. Anyways, Taylor has also been officially announced as part of the lineup for iHeartRadio Music Festival, and that's in September in Vegas. I believe a few of us will be there.
Hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed.
Assuming we can find tickets.
Yeah, we'll find tickets.
So I'd like you guys to know, listeners, that the tickets, they went on sale yesterday at 10 a.m. I tried to buy them at 10 a.m., and they were sold out.
That is
How
ridiculous.
Does that even happen? I feel like that is ridiculous.
That's just chance, basically. It's just like the 1 second that you click it is, you know, dependent on whether you get tickets or not.
Like, I understand tickets getting sold out within, like, minutes of them going on sale, but not within, like, a point of a second.
Right.
Crazy. Like, most of that had to have been pre-sales and all that stuff. But somehow they sold, you know what I mean?
Which is really unfair. Like, ticket brokers must have some system, like these,
ticket resellers. I feel like the situation with ticket brokers is getting out of control.
I agree.
It is. I believe in some states, ticket brokering is actually illegal.
It should be.
I had to pay
a bigger price for almost every ticket I bought to every Speak Now show I went to because I waited to buy them.
Yeah, for
sure.
So, I
mean, that was my fault, but still, the point is that, you know.
Or, aside from that, Belle, I wasn't able to buy tickets at face value because even though, you know, when you're like signed up for Taylor Connect and the TaylorSwift.com newsletter and everything, they offer pre-sale tickets. I couldn't do that because they only send that out to people in that market. So to go to the LA show, apparently, like, LA was the closest show I went to. I wasn't even eligible for pre-sale for those.
Oh, that's too bad. I didn't know that.
So because there was no Vegas show, I couldn't get pre-sale at all. My only option was to buy secondhand through ticket brokers.
Bummer.
So, yeah, it does kind of suck. But anyway.
There was like 3 pre-sales for mine.
I just feel somehow Ticketmaster has to figure this out because, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just ridiculous that you can't buy tickets the second they go on sale for, like, the public. Like, that's out of control. She is going to also be performing alongside Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, and Brad Paisley, and I think a few more people.
Yeah, a few more, but those are some of the cool ones, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. I have never seen Bon Jovi live, and I really want to, so.
I've never seen Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, or Brad Paisley, so I really want to go.
Wasn't Brad Paisley at the ACMs? Was he there?
Yes, I feel like that was. He was. I was sitting next to his guitarist.
I retract my statement.
All right, so yeah. Aerosmith and Bon Jovi. Two good ones.
Never seen Aerosmith and Bon Jovi.
I have seen Aerosmith, but not Bon Jovi. I'm excited. Even if I have to buy a ticket above face value.
Buy a $70 ticket for $400?
Pretty much.
Ooh, that's depressing.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, one more cool thing is she filmed a really cute promo discussing missing last year's iHeartRadio Festival and how she doesn't want to miss this one.
Well, she's not.
Nope, she's not missing it. Yay.
Excellent. Thanks, Belle.
You're welcome.
All right, moving on with the news. Taylor and Justin Bieber were reported to have made a song together, but their song collaboration did not make it onto Justin Bieber's new album, Believe. So our question is, where is the song? Justin Bieber's manager, Scooter Braun, explains, it didn't go on Believe because there's another record they want to work on, so it just didn't make sense at this time. And the song, they did just didn't make sense on the album. So I'm wondering, does that mean it's going to be on Taylor's fourth album? Are we going to have a song that's featuring Justin Bieber?
I was wondering the exact same thing.
I know, me too.
Yeah, because they said another record they want to work on, and if it's both of them, you know, Taylor has an album that's coming up, so.
What if they're, but aside from that, like, what if they're doing an entire collaboration album? Like, can you imagine how much that would sell combining those two fan bases?
That would be ridiculous.
That would be the biggest selling album in history.
That would be insane.
It'd be absurd.
It'd be cray cray.
I vote in favor of it. Do it.
Go for it.
Yes, Taylor or Justin, if you're listening, think about that. Think about working together on a whole CD. Taylor has a new CoverGirl campaign she's working on and gave fashion and lifestyle website Refinery29.com a sneak peek behind the scenes look. If you haven't seen that video yet, it's been up on TaylorTalk.org, so go check it out.
We will. So Taylor tops Forbes' highest paid under 30 list, pulling in $57 million between May of 2011 and May of 2012.
Holy cow!
Yeah, she was beating out both Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga, both whom she typically trails behind in terms of income. So to put that into perspective, $57 million annually breaks down to $156,000 a day or $108 every minute of every day.
My gosh.
That is insane.
So, Taylor, can you take, like, one day income and donate it to me?
Or at least, yeah, like, me too.
Yeah, like, that would be very nice.
Year,
you know?
Like, once a year, just give me one day of that.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'd be set. I'd be happy.
Yeah, that would make me happy.
Yeah, that's all you would need for the whole year.
That's insane. Congrats to Taylor, though, on finally beating Bieber and Gaga. Sorry, did I say that with a bitter tone? I didn't mean to.
We love Bieber and Gaga.
No, I actually, you know, I'm not a huge Bieber fan. There's a few things he's done that I like, but I'm not, you know, I don't like him to the extent I like Taylor, obviously. But I do like Lady Gaga. I'm not going to lie about that.
I don't mind her music, but I'm a little concerned about her meat dress.
Hopefully that was just a one-time thing.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, that would be a little disturbing to see twice.
The time she showed up in the egg. That was kind of weird.
Yeah,
really strangely cool, though.
Some of her interesting fashion choices. Yeah. But her music.
You'll never forget them.
Ladies.
Yes.
This is Taylor Talk, not Gaga. Gaga Gibber.
Gaga Gibber.
All right. So.
Sorry.
Back to the news.
Wow.
That was the best I could think of. It took me about 2 seconds.
Okay. Just checking.
So Taylor will be honored on December 3rd by the Robert F. Kennedy Center for the Justice and Human Rights for their Ripple of Hope Award. All right, so the Ripple of Hope Award is given to leaders of the international business, entertainment, and activist communities who demonstrate commitment to social change. Past recipients include President Bill Clinton, VP Al Gore, and Bono.
She's with a nice group now. That's incredible.
Cool. That's kind of awesome.
Tickets to the awards gala start at $1,500 and go up to $250,000 and can be purchased through rippleofhope.evenbright.com.
So are we going to
Bright?
That makes the iHeartRadio tickets look cheap.
I know.
Yeah, right? Now that I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, I don't think I'm going to be attending this gala.
Oh my gosh, $250,000. I was reading on that one because I was just out of sheer curiosity. I'm like, why would they charge $250,000? I'm like, what does that include? Apparently that $250,000 includes two seats at the head table, so you'll probably get to sit next to Taylor. Two seats at the head table. You get an entire table for 10 people, so you can bring 10 along with you. You get 12 passes to the VIP something or other, and then a full ad in their event program, which is, I don't know, I don't have $250,000 to lay out. I don't know why I was looking at that.
Maybe if you pull all the money together,
Taylor for dinner one night.
Not gonna work either.
No, we still wouldn't have enough.
No, we really wouldn't.
However, if anyone wants to donate $250,000, I was just saying, you get two seats at the head table, so you can sit next to Taylor, and I'll sit next to you. I'd be more than okay with that. Sorry. I know none of you are gonna donate $250,000.
All right.
Anyway.
So this isn't really news, but it's great. Was it last week?
It was, sometime in the past several days.
Yeah. So everyone started going crazy because Taylor wrote, "Oh, hey, I'm writing you from Nashville, where I sat in a big room with a lot of people and made a lot of decisions about a lot of things happening very soon. And as vague as that sentence was, I think you know what it means. Stuff is about to happen, and I love you more than ever, Taylor."
I really don't know what that means, though.
So that appeared on her Facebook page.
I think it probably has a lot to do with the album.
I'm wondering, though, because putting puzzle pieces together, what if it has to do with this Justin Bieber collaboration, the mysterious missing Bieber collaboration? What if that's going to be, like, the first single from her fourth album?
Didn't we already go through this, Adam? That's not going to be on the album.
It might be. You never know. And no.
How do you know?
We went through that song's not going to be on Justin Bieber's album, Believe, because that just came out, and we know that it's not there. But it could be on Taylor's album.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So she's from, let's break it down. Nashville, so she was probably at Big Machine, right?
Right.
A big room with a lot of people. That's the part that throws me off, a big room with a lot of people, because, I mean, usually all her fourth album stuff is going to be kept pretty under wraps. Like, only a select group of people are going to be familiar with what's going on.
Well, she probably meant the people from the label.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
But it says a lot of people. This isn't like, with Scott Borchetta and some of the executives.
Okay, a lot might be like 10 people to one person instead of 100.
Maybe. So,
personally, my guess would be details about the new single coming out.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Right. Now it says about a lot of things happening very
probably
soon.
Stuff with the album.
Probably like first single, first music video, album,
exactly.
Tour locations.
Pre-sale stuff.
Probably just upcoming promotional materials.
Set up the domino pieces to album release day.
Yeah. Basically.
That's my guess.
So... either way, stay tuned for more from Taylor. So, on to our first mini segment. I love the mini segments.
Me too.
So, first up, at HannahRules14 says, "You know you're a Swiftie when you're not afraid to sing in your room because of Taylor." Smiley face. She put a smiley face on it. How are you supposed to read a smiley face?
No, that's fine. Just say smiley face. All good.
Did it perfectly.
So Jade Taylor 13 says, "You know you're a Swiftie when you and your friends use Taylor's songs as code names for your crushes."
I've done that before. Cute. I'm not lying. I had a Drew in high school.
So just be like, "So Drew is going to PE right now, and John is in English."
Yep, basically. Although Drew and John are not like the ideal names you'd want to pick from Taylor songs, because both of those guys break your heart.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Unless you ever.
I was just grabbing some names out of her songs. Didn't really break it down.
All right.
Well, she said using Taylor's songs as code names.
Oh.
So
maybe she's like, yeah, Picture to Burn is over there and English being a... Yeah. I don't know.
Being a jerk.
And Two Drops on My Guitar is over there ignoring me.
Oh.
That's why he's the reason for the teardrops on your guitar. Da-da-tsh. Sorry. You said he's ignoring you. He's making you sad.
We get it, Adam. We just thought we already clarified that point.
Whatever.
All right. I'm moving on. This one comes from VD101. I guess that's how you say your Twitter name. You know you're a Swiftie when any word from a Tay song reminds you of her. That's my excuse for thinking about her all the time.
There's a lot of words in her songs, so that gives you a lot of reasons to think about her.
I don't need a reason to think about her. I'll just think about her.
That's true. Who needs excuses?
Touche.
Haley, I think you're
after. All right. So, I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go.
Okay. All right. So, we have two from Sparks Are Flying via Taylor Connect. Her first one, or their first one, is If Swifties Ruled the World, all girls would carry one of the Wonderstruck bags.
Great fashion accessory.
It is. The day I got it, I haven't stopped using it. So
styling.
And I get comments all the time. All right. And now their second one is, you know you're a Swiftie when you pick the number 13 for your sport jersey.
Very cool.
I tried to do that, but it was already taken.
Fail.
I know, right? Zoe sent in via email a three-peat, and I couldn't decide which one to use, so I'm using all three. Zoe said, you know you're a Swiftie when, even though you just started listening to Taylor Talk, that's us.
Yay.
You download all of the past episodes because they're so awesome!
Yay!
Thank you.
We love you,
Zoe. Thank you, Zoe.
Virtual hand hurts.
Anyway, her next one is, you know you're Swiftie when you beg your mom to go to Nashville and visit all of Taylor's favorite places once you get there, including the Bluebird Cafe.
Great place to go.
Belle, you're taking me to Pancake Pantry when I come out to Nashville.
I know, I have to induct everybody to Pancake Pantry whenever they come out.
Sounds like good, I'm down.
Thing that has to happen.
It's like the in and out of Nashville.
It is amazing. I'm really, actually really craving their chocolate chip pancakes right now.
Aw, you'll get them soon. Next one from Zoe, final one from Zoe, is you know you're a Swiftie when you talk so much about Taylor all day long during a game of truth or dare at a party. Someone dares you to not talk or listen or talk about or listen to Taylor Swift for a day.
Sad face.
Oh, you must talk about Taylor a lot. I don't think anybody could dare me to do that. It wouldn't work.
I don't know. Is there something that you have to do if you don't complete the dare?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you can make
that
part of the dare.
There's no consequence.
If you wanted to.
There's no consequence.
Yeah, there anyway. Is. You're out of the game if you don't do it.
Well, then I'd be out of the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Be like, screw that. I can't.
All right. Thanks for those, Zoe. Those all three were very good.
Okay. Amrit via email sent in, if Swifties ruled the world, everybody would be born to be fearless.
Woo!
I like that. It's like Born to be Wild, but Born to be Fearless.
Born to be fearless. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. That was nice, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm bowing right now.
Oh, well, I will applaud you. Okay. Safe and Sound XX says, you know you're a Swiftie when you don't get scared on Friday the 13th because it's Swift Day.
Sweet!
Friday the 13th. That's a good way to rationalize that, getting through Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I know, and we just recently had one. Last Friday was July the 13th.
Yep.
Sure was. Yep. Friday the 13th. So, listeners, as promised, we have our very, very first voicemail submission, so you can kind of hear what it's going to be like. So, first up is from Madison, so let's hear from Madison.
Hey, I'm Madison. You know you're a Swiftie when you try to replicate some of the outfits that Taylor has worn.
So what did she just say? She said when you try to replicate some of the outfits Taylor has worn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like her everyday outfits that she gets photographed in.
Have you guys ever done that? Have you ever tried to dress like Taylor? Oh my god, Diane, you dress like Taylor all the time.
I do that on purpose. For her Speak Now show, that blue dress that she wore when she was singing on the tree, like, platform area, I have a dress that looks a lot like that. So it always makes me happy when I wear that, because I'm like, oh, this is a Taylor dress.
I have, like, an obsession with finding some of her sweaters from, like, Topshop and stuff. She had this, I can't find it yet, but I want the panda sweater. It's just really cute.
I want that too. I love pandas.
I love that sweater. And I do have the sweater. It's not, I don't think it's exactly the same one she has, but it's like a white sweater with a big red heart on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's cute.
I do have that, but I don't think it's the exact same one, but I mean, the sweater looks a lot like it.
Cool. All right, so thanks for that, Madison. Our second voicemail of the episode is from Maislin. Maislin. So let's hear from Maislin.
Hello, I'm Maislin. You know you're a Swiftie when you don't mind being single because Taylor is.
So is it me or did Maislin say Taylor's name kind of funny?
It almost sounds like an Irish accent.
Is she Irish?
It's kind of cute.
It is. So, way to use Taylor as your role model for that, Maislin. So thanks for those voicemails. Again, guys, this is our newest method of submission. You can either dial area code 240-31-SWIFT, or you can go to taylortalk.org, and there's a tab on the side that says send voicemail. So go do that. And remember, you don't have to just submit mini segments on there. You can submit any sort of general feedback. Like when we get into our general discussion topics, if you want to add your input, we can add it in the next episode for people to hear. So use those voicemails. It's really, really cool. And like, I'm really excited about it. And I worked really hard to get that set up. So do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Leave us a voicemail, please. Thank you. So our main discussion topic today, we're going to discuss the next single in progression on the Taylor Swift album, which is Our Song, which happens to be one of my favorites. What do you guys think?
It's definitely, I think it's adorable.
Top, I love it. It's
top three for me.
Yeah, no, I believe it's consistently listed on like Taylor's top songs. When people like blogs and stuff do that, it's usually up there. Probably has a lot to do with the fact that Taylor wrote it exclusively. No co-writes. She usually does really, really good with that. So it was released on August 22nd, 2007. A fun fact about it is that Taylor wrote it for her high school talent show when she was in ninth grade.
She wrote that song when she was 15. That's impressive.
That is awesome.
Could have been 14 still. You
yeah,
never know.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Depends on what point in the school year it was. But I mean, can you imagine being 14, 15 years old and writing a song that eventually goes like double platinum?
That is awesome.
Like, that's insane to me. like, that is so cool. I mean, impressive.
Okay, like, I love the first two singles that she had on the album, but I think it would be, like, a really special moment to see, like, that single becoming so successful and having it be the first one that you wrote yourself without any co-writes.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, not to diss co-writing at all. Co-writing is amazing, but I just think that would be, like, an awesome, like, proud moment.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a weird yeah. But, according to Wikipedia, and I don't know if this is verified or not, because Wikipedia is not necessarily trustworthy, but the part of the reason she felt so confident in the song and basically demanded putting it on the album is because of the positive response from the student body of her school. Thank you to her classmates who supported that song, because now we all have it. Now it's all our song.
Boom-tsh, good pun. Didn't thank Rick you, say on the last...
Other puns.
Yes. Didn't Rick say on the last episode that that song wasn't originally going to be part of that album and Taylor had to really push for it and fight for it to be on there? And they're like,
yeah, I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think so. I think you could be right. And then specifically, she wanted it to be last on the album because at the end when it's all like saying play it again, she wanted it to be like a subtle hint to listeners. Oh, time to repeat the album. Play it again.
That's cute.
Yeah. She said specifically, let's hope people take it as a hint and go ahead and play the album again. Ha ha. And she did add the ha ha at the end. So, do you guys have any favorite lyrics from that song? I'll tell you mine. Because my favorite lyric is not because it's anything significant, but in the chorus when she's all like, she's like, when we're on the phone and you talk real slow because it's late and your mama don't know. The reason that's my favorite is, aside from the fact that it's all scandalous, it's all like, ooh, your mama don't know what's going on. It's always baffled me, and Taylor lyrics are usually fairly transparent. Like, she wears her emotions on her sleeve. Like, you know what she's saying. But this is deceptive to me. It's confusing. I just don't get it. Why does talking slow prevent your mama from hearing? Like, I don't get it. So, can you still hear?
You know, the funny thing is like, I think that, like, I mean, it would have been more fitting to say, like, talking real low, but for some reason, like, it just flows better when you're singing to say slow instead of low. So.
Right.
I feel like that was kind of like a, and we'll just go with this moment. I could be wrong, but.
So, yeah. Belle, let me ask you again. Can you hear me?
I'm going to smack you.
Well, the point is, I was talking real slow and you heard me. In case you couldn't tell, I was trying to imitate Ellen's Dory from Nemo.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Dory, it's like you guys are speaking in whale voice, not in slow voice. Well, whale voice is slow voice.
Whale. Okay. So that's my favorite lyric. What do you guys have?
I love the end of the song when she's like, I took out a pen and an old napkin and wrote down our song.
I like that too, actually. There's something very, there's something about the feel of it where it's just so casual. It's like you're just writing it on a napkin. It's very, like, real feeling.
Yeah, it's...
I just love it because it's incredibly relatable. I mean, there's been more times than I could count where all of a sudden I came up with, like, a great hook out of the middle of nowhere and I'm out and about doing stuff. And so I'm either grabbing my phone, writing it down on a, you know, texting it to myself, or, you know, actually I have written things on napkins before.
Well, the napkin thing is kind of outdated now because Taylor has been quoted saying, you know, that she uses the voice memo apps on her iPhone now. She'll just record herself a voice memo if she thinks of something like that.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there have been times when I have written something on a napkin, and I'm sure anybody that writes songs has probably done that at one point or another, too.
Yeah. What's it called? You know, there's always the most famous napkin writing story is J.K. Rowling writing the beginning of Harry Potter on napkins.
Yeah. I was just going to say, that I don't remember why I've written things on napkins. That's when my phone is dead, because I'm, like, out and I've been out all day.
Oh,
I don't have phone battery, and I'm like, oh, crap, so I've been, like, written on a back of a piece of paper or, you know, something when I had to.
So, Diane, you're our English major, our token English major
on the show.
So, what are... So
what are your favorite lyrics?
Like, what do you have to say about the writing?
I love the beginning and the way it starts because it really, like, puts you in the moment and you can, like, really see in your head, like, a girl and a guy, you know, hanging out in the car. And she's like, wait a second, we don't have a song. We should probably get one. And he's like, actually, we do have a song. And then he tells her, like, all of these moments, you know, that they have that are so special, like, you know, the screen door and just, like, hearing someone.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry. Yeah. It just clicked for me. I just finally understood the song.
Really?
Really?
Like, seriously, I just finally understood it.
Are you being
sarcastic?
It's
basically saying we don't need... It's like saying we don't... No. I'm serious right now. It's like saying we don't need a song. We have all these other special moments because that's the idea of having a song. When a couple has a song, they have our song. Like, that's what it's for. Is it supposed to signify something special? That's what it's supposed to
be.
But instead, he's saying, we don't need that special song. We have all these other moments that represent it.
Yes, I believe you just had an epiphany, Adam. That's exactly what the song's about.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I finally got it. I have never picked up on that until I've actually read through, until I actually started reading through the lyrics and you sang that. And I don't know, it's just all the puzzle pieces just came together for me.
Yeah, this...
Taylor, you're a lyrical genius. Thank you, Taylor Swift. Sorry,
you're a little
slow,
but we still love you.
I totally interrupted you, Diane.
Well,
so if you could continue,
I don't even remember what I was saying now. I was basically just like summarizing the song because really, like, the song is a story and it goes through, like, all these cute moments in their relationship. And at the end, she just is like, you know what? That's true. And I am going to write a song about our song. So it's really like a song about the fact that they don't have a song, but then she's going to write a, you know, does that make sense? Like, she's making their random moments a song, which I think is adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, Haley, do you have anything to add?
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Duh.
You weren't speaking up or speaking now?
Well,
yes,
during your rant, it was really hard to say something.
Shut up.
All right. My favorite line is, I've heard every album, listened to the radio, waiting for something to come along. Because that's what I do. I wait for those songs to get me and fall in love with those songs and be with the guy that I'm with listening to it.
But as this song proves, you and your guy, should you have a guy, don't need a song. You just need special moments.
But maybe those special moments are trying to find good songs.
That's true. Maybe you can write your own song about you and your special guy and all your moments, and that can be your song. Or your own song.
There you go, Diane.
So here's the million-dollar question. Is this song fictional, or is it about a real relationship?
She usually says when her songs are, at least in her early days, she would usually say when her songs were about someone personal in her life. I don't believe that she actually made that statement with this song.
No, see, this is what confused me, is because on Wikipedia, it says it's about her boyfriend at the time. Then on the quote I pulled off of the old TaylorSwift.com when it still had her little paragraph about what the song was about, she said something about it's about a couple. She doesn't say it's about me and my boyfriend or anything like that. You know, she just said it's about a couple.
What if it's about the Mary song couple?
It could be.
You know,
be.
How she used to always listen to the couple talking about their love lives and how their life went. And could it be about
them?
Wait,
are you talking about the people from Mary song?
Yeah.
It could be, but I think this song is kind of universal in a way. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be about Taylor and one of her guys. It could be about, like, anyone or anyone she's observed. Like,
I'm kind of leaning towards fiction on
really?
One, to be honest. I really am leaning towards fictional, because, I mean, she wrote it in, like, 20 minutes or something for a student talent show at her high school. You know what I mean? So there wasn't really, I don't know, it doesn't seem like there was a lot of personal life that went into this one.
I mean, it could be about the same guy that she wrote Tim McGraw about, because I think he was her boyfriend for a while.
Maybe, except that then they wouldn't not have a song. Did that make sense? Because they had Tim McGraw. They had the Tim McGraw music.
Right, but maybe she wrote
song.
Our song before she wrote Tim McGraw. I don't know the timeline. Like, I don't know which one she wrote first or not, but it could be.
Maybe Tim McGraw is a result of our song.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's interesting. Again, you know, if listeners have thoughts on our song, you can leave us a voicemail. Sorry, I just keep plugging that voicemail thing. I'm really excited to hear from you guys.
Guys, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I have to get going. So I'm going to have to let Adam and Haley and Diane finish this episode. But I heart you guys. Virtual hand hurts. I'm sorry, I have to go work.
Oh, sucks. Have a good day.
Bummer, work.
All right.
Who needs to work, seriously? Come on.
I know, it sucks when you have bills to pay.
I know. Anyway, Belle will be back with us next week. So
I'll be back.
We'll miss you for a week, Belle.
Well, only half of an episode.
Not even half. We're pretty close to the end, so.
Okay. Well, hand hearts. I miss you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, see you, Belle. Well, that was sad.
It was quite sad.
So let's talk about the music video a little bit. Again, it was directed by Trey Fanjoy, who directed quite a few of Taylor's old videos back in that day. So, I mean, what do you guys think of the video as a whole?
I think go ahead, Haley.
I just love the way this video was put together. I mean, there's so many different moments that could have gone wrong if they weren't put together correctly, but it all worked out. Like the start of her in her bedroom and going to the porch, and then going to her with the flowers, and then the shot with her and her band. If it wasn't put together great like it was, it could have been disastrous.
Speaking of her band being in it, I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's a little different than some of her more recent videos, like ours, which was strictly narrative, didn't cut to the band. And for me, like, when I first saw the band come on, and there's a part where Grant is on his guitar and he comes up right next to Taylor, and all I could think is, like, wow, look at Grant. Because he looks so different back then.
I actually didn't realize it was him for a moment. Because he looks that different.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And Amos had a hat on.
Yeah. So it is kind of cool to see all of the band members in the earlier days also. Because they've been with her for a long time, which I wish Belle was still with us because she's our music expert. I wonder how typical that is to hold on to your band that long.
Yeah, I've never paid attention to anyone's bandmates until Taylor came along.
Exactly, exactly. I could not name you a single band member of any other artist.
So
a fun fact about the video, though, is that it won not just one, but two CMT Music Awards for Video of the Year and Female Video of the Year.
That,
I thought that was kind of
neat. That is really exciting.
That it won two videos of the year in the same award show. How many people can lay claim to that?
Not very many.
Not that many.
And another thing...
There might be a couple, but...
Yeah, maybe. It's happened once or twice, probably. But another thing about this video that I noticed is that I feel like this video could have gone two ways. Like, it could have been her and a guy in the car, you know, very, like... Yeah, exactly. But instead, it's like her telling a story to her friend on the phone about what happened with their song. And then she goes through and she's like, oh, well, I'm here on the porch and she's talking about it. And I'm with the flowers and she's talking about it because they probably had a special moment on the porch and a special moment with the flowers. And then at the end, she's singing their song. So it's just kind of like the story of how things went through and she's retelling it to the audience. So I like it.
Yeah, that's a very creative angle to go with, isn't it? Which I know, you know, I wonder how much Taylor had to do versus Trey Fandroy, because I know Taylor spoke, you know, about this video and the other videos that Trey Fandroy did very highly of Trey's directing style.
Exactly.
So,
one thing I love about this video, it was the debut of the sparkly guitar.
It was, wasn't it?
The sparkly guitar.
The sparkly guitar.
And
that they all glued the rhinestones onto.
That must have taken so long to glue those on one by one.
Yeah, I would not have the patience to do that. But good for Taylor that she stuck by and went through it.
That's that. So, what would Taylor do, guys? What do you think? So, this week's What Would Taylor Do was submitted by... at Crests of Waves, who asks, what would Taylor do if she couldn't write songs anymore? The first thing I have to ask her that is why? Like, why wouldn't Taylor be able to write songs anymore?
I'm trying to think, like, what could prevent her? Like, paper is always available. You know, her iPhone is always available to record with. I mean, like, physically write songs?
Or maybe she just, maybe she just lost her, like, ability to write songs well.
Like, lost her mojo?
Lost her muse.
Is mojo maybe. For a girl, moja?
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so, I don't know, would she still be singing like other artists would sing other writer songs, or?
I think a better question than what would Taylor do is what would her fans do?
Cry.
I'd be sad. I would cry. I mean, we were just talking about Our Song, which is one of my favorites of hers that was written exclusively by her.
Yeah, and look how great that song turned out. And it would be so sad if we couldn't have any
Fearless was
like that.
Written all by her.
So was Love Story, I believe. And all of Speak Now was written by her, too.
Yet this fourth album is supposed to have lots of collaborations. In theory, possibly. Exciting. Hopefully. We'll see. So, I don't know, to honestly answer this question, I have no idea what Taylor would do if she couldn't write songs anymore. Because, I mean, I know these questions are supposed to be hypothetical, but that one just does not seem feasible.
Yeah, it's extremely improbable.
Like, I can't figure it out.
I mean,
well,
maybe she wouldn't be able to
hopefully write... Hopefully she'll still be able to sing, you know. But, like, if she just couldn't be in the music business anymore, maybe she'd just do something in business, since she's such a great business... career woman.
It's possible.
Yeah. So at Crests of Waves, thanks for submitting that. Don't forget, guys, to submit more What Would Taylor Do? Funny hypothetical situations. If you can come up with them, send them in. So this week's What Are Swifties Listening To comes from at the Swift Style via Twitter, who thinks Swifties should listen to All About Us by He Is We, and it features Owl City in it. So It's, I just heard the song for the very first time during this recording. We actually paused the recording so I could listen to the song, and I really liked it.
I think it's really cute. It's adorable. You guys should listen to it. It'll make you happy.
Like, it will make you happy. It's finally, like, a happy relationship story. It's not about, oh, they broke my heart, blah, blah, blah. It's all about, like, how happy they are. And it's, like, when you're in that good relationship, it's all about us. It's all about the two of you. Nothing else matters. And something, I don't know if you guys caught it when you were listening to, but I thought it was kind of funny because...
I know what you're talking about.
Do you? What am I talking about?
I don't.
About,
what are Haley? You guys talking about?
Do you hear that... do you hear that, love? They're playing our song.
Yes!
Oh, how applicable.
Haley picked up on it, and I thought it was so funny because we just did our song discussion, and they're all like, they're playing our song in All About Us by He Is We. So you guys should, if for no other reason, just go listen to that song for that line. But anyway, I really like it, so I give it a thumbs up.
Definitely two thumbs up.
Yes. So before we sign off and say goodbye to you guys, don't forget you can go like us on Facebook now. It's just, please like us.
We need you to like
we
us.
We like you. We like you. You should like us. It'd be so fun. It'll be like a big likey circle. The circle of likes. You know, instead of the circle of life, the circle of like. Anyway, so it's facebook.com/TaylorTalk13. And then, of course, I've said it a million times this episode because I'm really, really excited about it. But leave us voicemails. You'll be able to hear yourself on Taylor Talk, and it'll be such a glorious moment. You'll be, like, listening to Taylor Talk and be like, oh, that's me!
Exactly. And we will be able to hear you for the first time because you guys have been listening to us. So now it's your turn to talk to us.
Ooh, good point, mm-hmm. Diane. We can hear you. Let your voice be heard on Taylor Talk. So yeah, again, to leave a voicemail, U.S. listeners, you can call area code 240-31-SWIFT, and everybody can go to taylortalk.org and click send voicemail on the side, that tab on the side, and leave us a voicemail. Of course, make sure to click send at the end, because if you record it and don't click send, we won't get it. So, leave us voicemails. Anyway, so, four. Episode 21 of Taylor Talk. This has been Adam,
Diane,
and Haley,
and Belle. Oh.
Oh, Belle.
Do you know what, guys? I really miss hearing Aunt Maya.
Me too. I haven't talked to Maya in so long. She's at camp,
I
right?
know. Yeah, she's at a counselor at a summer camp right now, so she will be back with us next month. But for these few episodes, I've really kind of missed her.
I have too. Hi, Maya, if you're listening. We love you.
We love Maya. Anyway, so bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You guys are supposed to do virtual hand hearts.
Oh, virtual hand hearts.
Oh, virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
I forgot right. Thanks, because Belle's not here. She usually says it.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.